Good morning, everybody. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I call the meeting for the House Transportation, Finance, and Policy to order for April 11th. A quorum is present, so we will get started. Everybody, we have a really full agenda today, and so I am going to be a stickler on time. We will have a timer up here with 2 minutes. It will go off, and when you hear it going off, please wrap up your testimony as quickly as possible. We do need to move this bill out today. Our first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Vice Chair Myers, have you had a chance to look at the minutes for April 10th, 2025?
I have. I move the minutes for April 10th, 2025.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. All right. Today we're going to be doing the walkthrough of our transportation finance bill. First item, or Representative Kosnick, would you like to move the DE amendment to House File 2438?
Madam Chair, committee, thank you very much. It's been a long process, but mostly enjoyable. Most importantly, I think it's be very rewarding for us and transportation advocates across the state. Chair Kosnick would move House File 2438 DE1 amendment.
Thank you. We will now move to testimony for the DE1. First on our agenda is Commissioner Dobenberger, and then on deck would be Deputy or Commissioner O'Hearn. Is Commissioner Dobbin? Okay. Welcome to the committee. If you could just please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Cagle and Chair Kosnick and members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on House File 2438, the Omnibus Transportation Bill. I appreciate the work that you and other committee members and staff have done over the course of the session to assemble this legislation. The bill provides important investments to help construct, operate, and maintain Minnesota's transportation system in challenging times. On behalf of MnDOT, thank you for including several MnDOT initiatives in the omnibus bill. Additional funding for state road construction and the Blatnik Bridge will result in a greatly improved transportation system, better pavements, and safer bridges. Authorizing a funding partnership with the Met Council on the F-Line Highway 65 project will allow MnDOT to make numerous safety improvements in that corridor. Not only would this approach minimize disruption to commuters and the traveling public, but the project design, communication, and construction will be significantly more efficient than building two separate projects. There are a few items I would like to highlight as concerns. Overall, the proposed spending in the Trunk Highway Fund appears to exceed the available unreserved fund balance in the fiscal years 26-27 biennium by approximately $75 million. Although this is a large number, we believe this is a technical error that can be resolved in working with fiscal staff to reduce the specific appropriation or to shift some appropriations to the 28-29 biennium. And I understand discussions have already taken with fiscal staff, and so this might be in the process already of being fixed. The aims of the project portal requirements to enhance transparency and accountability are also goals that the department shares. As identified in the fiscal note, this effort would require a significant amount of work and several new staff. MnDOT's program is constantly shifting because of these funding changes, project changes, and priority changes like state and federal legislative directives. The department has significant amounts of information available on our website, but we know we can always do a better job communicating with the public. The $8.94 million cut to passenger rail limits our ability to support Borealis service from St. Paul to Red Wing, Winona, and points beyond to Milwaukee and Chicago. Ridership on that line has exceeded expectations, and we want to continue to remain strong partners with the states of Wisconsin and Illinois in supporting that service. The proposed delay in implementation of greenhouse gas and vehicle miles traveled requirements is concerning. Transportation is the leading sector of greenhouse gas emissions in Minnesota, and we need to start thinking differently as we plan expansion projects. The legislation enacted in 2023 creates accountability to directly mitigate or offset increased emissions from highway expansion. Delaying these requirements would remove the most meaningful mechanism for accountability on transportation emissions reduction in Minnesota. Meeting the proposed targets for asset sustainability ratio would result in a substantial change to our construction program. Approximately $150 to $250 million annually would need to be shifted to pavement projects to meet these requirements. So it would require removing non-pavement projects from our program that in some cases have already been scoped and started public engagement and would result in fewer bridge, freight, safety, and other projects currently planned. These changes would also contradict the investment direction identified in the 20-year Minnesota State Highway Investment Plan through the public process required under state statute. MnDOT does not object to performing the analysis and reporting those results to the legislature, but meeting the targets would have significant impacts on the trunk highway program. The legislation does not include any adjustments to aircraft registration rates. Along with a modification to the airline flight property tax, these investments would allow us to provide more airport development grants for Minnesota's 133 public airports. Excluding Metropolitan Airports Commission airports, which have substantial funding needs, we estimate $1.15 billion is needed by 2030 to maintain and expand our system of airports. Again, thank you for allowing me to share this input on the Omnibus Transportation Bill. I look forward to working with you so we can finalize a bill that maximizes the health of people, the environment, and our economy for Minnesota's multimodal transportation system. I stand for questions.
Thank you very much. Director O'Hearn, if you want to introduce yourself, and then Judge Shutton is on deck.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Cagle and Chair Kosnick, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Cassandra O'Hearn, and I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Public Safety. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to provide some comments on this bill. We recognize that the committee is faced with the difficult task of setting a budget in the midst of a challenging budget outlook. I appreciate all the work that this committee has put into this bill and the included investments in public safety. The operating adjustments is a top priority for the department. It pays salaries, rent, IT costs, and was proposed as a measured request. Without it, we move backwards as an agency, and the cuts to the state patrol will result in fewer troopers. We understand that the budget target created funding challenges, but we are hopeful that you will consider including the full operating adjustment amount recommended by the governor to assist DPS in addressing cost pressures and keep us moving forward as an agency. We are grateful to this committee for including the agency-wide grant administration authority recommended by the governor. This is a crucial part of ensuring that we have the appropriate resources to complete critical oversight functions to combat fraud and misuse of public funds. For the State Patrol, I want to thank you for the investment in this bill for the recruiting and retention of state troopers. This investment will maintain a quality workforce that is also reflective of those they serve. We would like to see enough funding to allow for two academies per year into the future, as recommended by the governor. We appreciate the inclusion of the initiative to require the same penalties for all dangerous speeders by adding additional consequences for driving more than 35 miles per hour over the posted speed limit. This will improve public safety and hold dangerous speeders accountable. We're also hopeful this committee will consider including funding for the new State Patrol headquarters in its final bill. Headquarters is desperately needed to create one centralized space and better serve the public. For driver vehicle services, we want to thank you for including the no-fee transactions recommended in the governor's budget. DPS has always maintained that our deputy register partners are critical to serving customers, and they should be paid for the work that they do, and this initiative does exactly that. We're also appreciative of the inclusion of the online renewal for driver's license. This is a service Minnesotans want and will provide convenience for those who choose to use it. The expansion of background checks in auto dealer licensing will provide greater consumer protection by ensuring only eligible individuals are licensed. We hope this committee will add rulemaking authority for the ignition interlock program into the bill. Putting these requirements in rule will serve public safety by establishing clear and enforceable requirements. Without the rulemaking authority, DVS is unable to update the requirements when the legislature makes changes to ignition interlock or when there are technology advances. While not currently in the bill, requiring the removal of license plates at the time of transfer would provide our deputy registrar partners with additional income and also reduce the nuisance of tickets and tolls to going to the prior owner. We are disappointed to see the revenue shifting for the blackout plates. As a special revenue-funded entity, DVS has the obligation to ensure that the fees it collects are adequate to cover necessary expenditures, to provide necessary services and meet customer expectations. The blackout plate revenue is based on a contribution fee that is elected by consumers who choose to have a blackout plate. This creative solution allows DVS to generate revenue into the special revenue account without increasing additional mandatory fees that would be charged to all Minnesotans. DVS collects a vast majority of the funding that enters the HUTD, and we work to support that account, and the best way we can do that is by providing high-quality customer-focused service to Minnesotans. We respectfully request that you reconsider redirecting blackout plate revenue out of the DVSOA. For the Office of Traffic Safety, thank you for including the planning and administrative match to allow the office to fully utilize all available funds and provide long-term stability for the office. The inclusion of the requirement to wear a seatbelt in some ATVs while driving in the right-of-way will reduce the chance of serious injury and death in crashes. And we're also appreciative of the changes included for the Advisory Council on Traffic Safety. This will allow the council to continue to support traffic safety initiatives across the state. Thank you again for your work in putting this bill together and the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much. Next on the agenda is Judge Shetnin, and after that, Steve Huser is on deck.
Great. Madam Chair and members, my name is Judd Shetnin. I'm the Government Affairs Director at the Metropolitan Council. And first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for the opportunity to discuss transit and for your work this session. I have a couple of items I'd like to thank you specifically for. The first is for including the sales tax loan that we're working with MnDOT on for the F line and the work of the road work along that project. And then also for including our initiative that allows for Metro Mobility certified users to ride the regular route transit system for free. I know that there are a number of other transit initiatives in your bill that pertain to the council, and we're looking forward to having those conversations with you as we proceed during the session. But other than that, I just wanted to say thanks, and I'll be short and sweet because I know you've got a big agenda here, and we'll look forward to continuing these talks after the legislative break.
Thank you very much. Next up is Steve Huser, followed by Lars Nagstad. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Steve Huser. I'm a senior government relations representative for the city of Minneapolis. I just want to start by thanking Chair Kosnick and Chair Cagle and the committee for the work that you've done this session to put together this bill. In the interest of time, I'll just speak to the one provision related to the city of Minneapolis. We really appreciate the inclusion of the $5 million for the traffic calming work that the city's been working on for the last year or so. That money will go a long way to help mitigate a lot of some safety issues that we've got, especially on residential streets. I look forward to working with the committee and the chairs on that provision as it progresses and as you continue your work with the Senate as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Nagstad. And next up, we'll have, after that, Real Schauer.
Madam Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Lars Nagstad. I'm the policy director for ISAIAH. ISAIAH is a multiracial, statewide, nonpartisan coalition of faith communities and other community groups working toward racial, economic, and climate justice. No matter where we live or what we look like, all Minnesotans deserve access to safe transportation options and a livable future. Unfortunately, this bill moves us backward in two key areas. First, the cuts to transit. These cuts, including $12 million to Greater Minnesota and zeroing out the general fund support for transit operations in the metro, will hurt people, including seniors and students who depend on it for getting around every day. Even more alarming is the unnecessary rollback of a significant policy innovation, the Greenhouse Gas Mitigation Program. Articles 2, Section 7 of the DE delays this important program, which has already been in effect for 2 months, by 3.5 years. This is a completely unnecessary policy provision that has no bearing on the budget and does not belong in this bill. Transportation is the leading sector of greenhouse gas emissions. Climate change is real and urgent. We all see the effects. From snowless winters to the emerald ash borer, it is impacting every corner of this state. Climate change is also costly. Just yesterday, the New York Times reported that by 2049, costs from the effects of climate change could total more than $38 trillion every year. The greenhouse gas emissions impact assessment that is being delayed will not save money, nor will it save jobs. Instead, it will further delay much-needed investments in transit and other resilient infrastructure. Especially in a time of enormous chaos, cuts, and cruelty coming from the Trump-Musk regime, we cannot afford to maintain the status quo. This is literally fiddling while Rome, or closer to home, Los Angeles, burns. We urge you to strip out this unnecessary backwards delay. Failing that, we urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Will Schroer, followed by Miguel Moravec. Welcome to the committee. If you could just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Cagle, Chair Kosnick. My name is Will Schroer. I'm the Executive Director of East Metro Strong. We work with counties, cities, and employers in the East Metro for more and better transportation. While our board members are all from the East Metro, of course, we want to see better transportation for everybody. You're going to hear from individual transit users today. I'd like to bring you the perspective of employers. The East Metro has long had poor access to jobs by transit. As cars get ever more expensive and harder to afford, if an employer is not served by transit, they tell me they have much harder time getting workers. We hear this from employers across the East Metro of all kinds, but especially in service and in manufacturing. The Gold Line is starting to fix that, and we're already seeing economic development along that line. We want to bring those benefits to more of the East Metro and the whole state. As Lars just mentioned, the cuts in this bill would slow and ultimately stop progress toward that goal. I've been on this committee in previous years. I've always found strong bipartisan support for a solid quality bus service, particularly the BRT services in which Metro Transit is a national leader. I'm really concerned that with these cuts, we won't see the benefits of as many of these good services in the East Metro and across the region. As a result, not just residents of the East Metro, but all of Minnesota's employers and economic growth will suffer. People want to get to good jobs and not see their whole paycheck going to car and insurance payments. I ask you to help ensure that they have the option to do that and that employers have the transit connections they need. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Miguel Moravec. He is online. And then he'll be followed by Pat Benner. Welcome to the committee. If you could please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, committee members. My name is Miguel Moravec with the Rocky Mountain Institute. I've sent some slides over, but I'm just going to read them out loud for the interest of time. I'm here to talk about the driving down emissions VMT standard. And the discussion in this committee has been around cost and safety and how the VMT assessment impacts costs and safety. There's two headlines from yesterday, Wall Street Journal, CNN, talking about how we are in a trade war. Tariffs are going up, and even before those tariffs, the average cost of a new car was $50,000. $50,000 is the average salary here in Minnesota. Minnesotans want and deserve affordable alternatives. A poll from Move Minnesota showed that 66% of Minnesotans would rather have more transportation options than just new highways. So the upshot here is that by implementing the driving down emissions VMT standard, our analysis, I can screen share, excellent. I'm gonna screen share for y'all. Thank you, Matt, for that information.
I don't know.
Okay. No, I don't think so, unless it's up there.
Can you see my screen? It's all right if not.
We can, there we go, perfect. Yep, thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for the technical assistance. Here are the costs. They're really high for car ownership. Minnesotans want more options. They're an overwhelming majority agree about that. The VMT provisions, as previously written, help start the dialogue about how to include affordable options in our generational transportation investments. RMI conducted an analysis. We did the impact assessment. If you continue with the policy as written, what would the cost savings be to the average Minnesotan household? we found that it would be $1,700 in direct cost savings. That's from gas. That's from less trips to the mechanic for maintenance, and that's from avoided depreciation. So we're talking about a stimulus-sized benefit to Minnesotan households if we stay the course with the VMT provisions and tie in affordable options as we're developing our larger infrastructure projects. Minnesotans want this relief.
Yeah, we can do it.
Okay. On the safety conversation, there's been a lot of talk in this committee, really difficult conversations, stories told about traffic fatalities in Minnesota communities. But there's been mixed signals about how do we actually address those crash fatalities. Fortunately, we have an example right here from New Jersey, Hoboken, which has achieved its Vision Zero goals for 7 years. They've not had a single crash fatality for 7 years. I want to be really clear that they achieved this not by adding more interchanges or more lanes, but by employing traffic calming that trusted the science and lowered speeds. We heard an example from Anoka of a two-lane roadway with like 6 crash fatalities last year. That street needs a redesign. It needs traffic calming and safer alternatives. And the VMT bill, as written, is the mechanism to start that conversation and put those infrastructure projects in that actually reduce crash fatalities. Because the science is so clear, we were also able to do an analysis about what the impact of adding all of these traffic calming and safer transportation choices would be. It would save, on average, 67 lives.
And I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up here quickly.
Okay, yep. The upshot is I'm just asking committee members, stay the course. It'll unlock $1,700 of cost savings for Minnesotans and improve safety outcomes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next up on the agenda is Pat Benner, followed by MJ Carpio.
Good morning, Chair Cagle, Chair Kosnick, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Pat Benner. I'm a legislative representative with AFSCME Council 5. We're a union that represents 43,000 public and private sector workers across the state of Minnesota, including frontline workers at MnDOT, DPS, Driver and Vehicle Services, and the Metropolitan Council. Thanks for the opportunity to comment on the House omnibus bill. AFSCME is happy to support many of the funding proposals in this legislation. I'd like to thank the chairs for getting close on including the governor's proposed operating adjustments for MnDOT and DVS. This funding will go a long way towards ensuring our members have what they need to maintain our roads and bridges. Additionally, increasing the electric vehicle surcharge to $200 will improve parity between drivers of electric vehicles and gas-powered cars while improving the stability of the HUTDF as the gas tax tapers off as EVs become a larger part of the state fleet. We also want to thank the chairs for inclusion of a provision that will increase the no-show fee for driver's license exams up to $40. While we want to acknowledge the size of the fine, which is substantial, we feel that tackling the backlog in the metro area for driver's license exams requires a bit more cooperation from the public if further investment isn't possible. Approximately 1 in 10 appointments is canceled within 24 hours, meaning the ability to fill that testing slot on short notice is really challenging. This small change could mean a bigger difference than the $20 fee did, though if it doesn't, we can reevaluate it next year. I do want to express our opposition to the shift of blackout plate funding from the DVS operating accounts. While we appreciate trying to find more ways to fund our roads and bridges, the blackout plate funding is not very large and doesn't get MnDOT counties or cities much closer to meeting their goals while substantially harming DVS's ability to keep up with the demand for license exams. Please reconsider the shift as this bill moves through conference committee. Thank you so much for considering my comments today.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Carpio, if you could. And then Michael Wojak is on deck.
Good morning, Chair Cagle, Chair Kosnick. My name is MJ Carpio, Executive Director of Move Minnesota and Move Minnesota Action. We have over 10,000 supporters for whom we advocate for improved public transit, biking, walking, and rolling infrastructure. I'm here to talk about two main topics, and one is continued attacks on transit and active transportation funding, and the other is transportation climate solutions, namely the greenhouse gas and VMT programming delay. There are several cuts to Metro Transit and Greater Minnesota Transit, also Metro Mobility, including the ability for Metro Mobility certified customers to access free rides. There's also cuts to active transportation and passenger rail base funding. You know, over the past 2 years, we passed long overdue and currently an urgently needed funding to improve these services. And Minnesotans are counting on these. These are working already. It's showing improvement in our daily lives. And the cost of transportation remains high for households, even more so for low-income households. And it's a burden that over the last 2 years we have shown we can alleviate. And we cannot walk back on making residents' lives easier. We can't afford to limit or reduce investments in public transit, walking, biking, and rolling. We have underinvested in these systems for decades. And with federal funding continuing to be uncertain, now is exactly the time for state decision makers to reassure Minnesotans that they can rely on our state's continued leadership on transit and climate here at home. On the attacks on the transportation climate solutions, we have a delayed implementation of assessing and requiring mitigation measures for the full portfolio of trunk highway projects. And we also have requiring a transfer of unencumbered funds to the highway user tax distribution. This delay undermines accountability for our own Department of Transportation.
And if I could ask you to
follow
state
goals.
Thank you.
And with federal funding cut for climate risk, now is exactly the time for Minnesotan decision makers to show that we can rely on you for continued leadership on this.
Thank you very much. We have Mr. Wojak online, and then on deck is Peter Wagenius.
Thank you, members, for the opportunity to speak on this bill. I am the executive director of the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota, Minnesota's premier statewide bike, walk, roll safety organization. I want to express grave concerns about this bill, in particular disregard for safety and transportation options in greater Minnesota. We need to remember that 30% of the people in our state don't drive and 10% of the households don't have access to a car, and that is even more challenging when that situation occurs in greater Minnesota. On September 4th, Barbara was attempting to cross Highway 12 at a marked crosswalk in Howard Lake, and she was killed by a driver. Last year, nearly 500 unnecessary deaths took place on Minnesota roads. Thousands more were seriously injured. They're not just numbers, they're loved ones like Barbara. 2024 saw a 17% increase in roadway fatalities over the average of the previous 8 years. Additionally, relative to the previous year, a higher percentage of those killed were people who bike, walk, and roll. We do not support the House proposed millions in cuts to active transportation, Greater Minnesota Transit, and the Advisory Council on Traffic Safety. We also do not support delaying VMT and greenhouse gas legislation. We expected cuts, but we were surprised to see earmarks in this bill, including a $41 million interchange in the South Metro. That one earmark alone could fill the cuts needed for safety and transit throughout Greater Minnesota. These cuts hit particularly hard in Greater Minnesota, where there is not a sales tax funding to help fund safety initiatives for vulnerable users. This bill cuts safety in Greater Minnesota for earmarks in the metro. We do not support that trade-off. I would ask those of you that represent Greater Minnesota and care about those vulnerable road users to think hard about the priorities in this bill. Budgets are ultimately a moral document. Thank you for the time to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Wojak. Next up, Peter Wagenius, and then Mr. Wayne Johnson will be on deck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Peter Wagenius from Sierra Club. Back in 2010, MnDOT and Met Council, to their great credit, did a study of highways just in the metro area and calculated how much money it would take to build all the highway lanes in our adopted plans and maintain the lane miles we'd already built. And they confirmed it would require the amount of money raised by a statewide $2 a gallon gas tax increase. I share that for a few reasons. For the first decade I worked in transportation policy, when people said our highway program was unsustainable, they meant it was financially unsustainable. Also, our VMT increases and our cost increases are disproportionately from the metro area. Legislators from Greater Minnesota like Bernie Leader and Keith Langseth wisely predicted that the skyrocketing cost of building wider highways in the metro area would crowd out needed funding for maintaining their roads. Most people with any sense of political reality found that $2 number jaw-dropping and said, whoa, 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 we need to think differently. We still can. Metro area opponents of VMT targets who want endless unaffordable highway expansions disingenuously act as though building endless bike lanes is the only way to adhere to the GHG VMT law. As if designing their projects differently was not an option. What they're really saying is, don't make me think differently. Don't make me tell my Metro County Commissioner the truth about fiscal and physical limits. Let's keep dreaming an endless pot of money will somehow be discovered at the Capitol. Before anyone says that we can only employ people with more lanes, nonsense. On a dollar-for-dollar basis, asset preservation projects employ more people than Metro expansion projects. Any single county commissioner can choose to believe that the road between their house and their job is the single most important road deserving of endless spending. But the cumulative effect of this approach, both financial and environmental, must be measured by state officials and acted upon. That is what you did in 2023. Thank you. Please vote no on this bill as needed to stop these climate rollbacks and the cuts to transit service. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Wayne Johnson, I believe, is online, you said? And then on deck is Nick Leonard.
Mr. Johnson. Chair Cagle, Chair Krasnick, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Wayne Johnson, Chair of the Ocotillo County Board of Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today and for your work on putting this transportation finance bill together. I also want to thank Representative Murphy for acknowledging the urgency associated with replacing the County State Aid Highway 76 bridge over Bluff Creek in Ottertail County. This bridge was built in 1956 at a substandard width of only 25 feet. It is a barrier when farm equipment meet vehicles, and it wasn't until the river was froze this winter that my staff was able to safely conduct an in-depth inspection of this structure, shortly after which County Engineer Foster, in consultation with MnDOT's bridge experts, made the decision to close it to ensure public safety until it can be replaced. Thank you for including funding for the bridge in this bill so that we can work to get the bridge back open for our residents, for commerce, and for our visitors to the area. I also want to give you a little perspective on Ottertail County. We have the second largest county state aid highway system in the state of Minnesota. So roads and transportation are very important. I'm also here today as the vice chair for the Association of Minnesota Counties Transportation and Infrastructure Policy Committee. And Ottertail County is a member of the Minnesota Inter-County Association, also known as MICA. Counties have jurisdiction of about 31% of the miles of roads and highways throughout Minnesota. And local governments oversee approximately 80% of all bridges in our great state. Together with our township and city partners, Minnesota counties thank you for the funds provided for local roads and bridges, funding for the local government road wetland replacement program, safe routes to school, and disaster cost sharing through today's Delete Everything Amendment. AMC, MICA, and Ottertail County greatly appreciate your work and dedication to transportation and support of regional significant roads and bridges owned and maintained by local road authorities. We look forward to continuing to work with you this session and urge the legislature to pass a general obligation bonding bill with additional local road and bridge investment. A bonding package is one of
the I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up here
priorities.
Shortly.
Pardon, thank you. I didn't hear it. Oh, thank you for your time. I appreciate it greatly. Have a great day.
Thank you. And next up we have Nick Leonard, followed by Sarah Wolf. And I believe Mr. Leonard's online as well.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you very much for the opportunity. My name is Nick Leonard. I'm the Deputy Administrator for Ottertail County, and I support a team that we call Economic Growth and Community Investment. That includes our highway department. As mentioned by Commissioner Johnson, Ottertail County has the second largest county state aid system in Minnesota, 1,067 miles. Representative Murphy, we'd be remiss if I didn't use this also as an opportunity to point out that we have the most lakes of any county, 1,048. So we have more miles than lakes, and no way to necessarily solve that. But you can see why we're so passionate about roads and bridge investments. Our local economy relies heavily on agriculture and industry, which needs safe, efficient routes to move goods to market. Infrastructure also directly impacts safety and quality of life. Better roads means fewer crashes, faster emergency response, and easier access to schools, jobs, and healthcare. plus strong transportation systems are key factors in attracting new businesses investment. Simply put, maintaining and improving our roads isn't just about travel. It's the critical infrastructure for building strong communities. Thank you very much for the opportunity this morning.
Thank you. Next up is Sarah Wolf, followed by Kathleen Schuler. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Wolf. If you could just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Wolf. Thank you, Chair Cagle and Chair Kosnick and members of the committee. I'm the Strategic Policy Director with Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, where we work with faith communities across the state to promote climate solutions that are effective and equitable. I'd like to thank you for your work on this transportation omnibus, House File 2438, and express appreciation for the opportunity to share our concerns around two aspects, proposed funding cuts and proposed delay to important climate policy. First, we are concerned about delays to policies that are currently under implementation that ask our Department of Transportation to plan projects considering the effect they will have both on greenhouse gas emissions and the number of miles people need to travel by car in the course of their daily lives. As you so well understand, transit gives people of all ages options. Options for living independently when they can't or don't wish to drive. Owning a car is a commitment of financial resources, and that can turn into a commitment of mental resources. Robust, reliable, convenient transit systems, whether they are for people who live in the metro area or greater Minnesota, help people afford their lives, allowing them to focus their money, their time, and energy to other priorities. So MNIPL opposes the cuts of $12 million each biennium to Greater Minnesota Transit and the cut to Metro Transit of $40 million in 2026-27, which increases to $64 million in 28-29. We are also concerned, as I mentioned, about that provision that would delay implementation of looking at greenhouse gas emissions and vehicle miles traveled. We can simply not delay to do smart planning anymore, planning that meets the goals that we have set. We need this for our climate, and we just need this so that people are able to live to their potential in the lives they have today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Right on cue. Next up is Kathleen Schuler, followed by Maya Merritt. If you just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, Chair Cagle, Chair Kosnick, and committee members. I'm Kathleen Schuler. I'm Policy Director with Health Professionals for Healthy Climate. We oppose a delay in implementing reductions in greenhouse gases and vehicle miles traveled currently required in statute that are proposed in the A1 amendment. This law is essential to Minnesota's work to address transportation emissions, our number one source of climate emissions. Investment in public transit is critical to reducing VMT. That's why we also oppose the proposed cuts to Greater Minnesota Transit, Metro Transit, and Metro Mobility. Delaying climate action increases exposure to air pollution, resulting in more premature deaths and increased incidence of respiratory and cardiovascular diseases. Air pollution from fossil fuel combustion is responsible for 350,000 premature deaths in the U.S. each year. Reducing carbon emissions and air pollution saves lives. The IPCC recommends cost-effective transportation solutions, which include reducing driving through smart land use planning, access to public transit, and walkable and bikeable neighborhoods, which are effective at reducing greenhouse gases and have lower costs to implement. These prioritizing active transportation policy also has significant health co-benefits by decreasing cardiovascular disease and diabetes. A study in 2012 in the Midwest found that nearly 1,300 premature deaths were avoided, and there were health savings of $8 billion through substituting short car trips with biking and walking. Minnesota must continue to prioritize and invest in the most cost-effective solutions to reduce greenhouse gases and protect public health by prioritizing reducing VMT through increased access to public and active transit. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Next up is Maya Merritt, and then Laura Ziegler is on deck. Welcome to the committee. If you can just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Maya Merritt, and I'm a resident of St. Paul. We all deserve clean air and water and the confidence of a better future, but for my generation and all generations after us, climate change is an existential threat to all of that. I was overjoyed to hear about Minnesota's goal to cut carbon emissions by 2050, and because vehicle emissions account for so much of the carbon in our atmosphere, the environmental review and greenhouse gas emission offset originally required in this bill will be the most effective way for us to achieve that goal. However, delaying implementation of these requirements will cause us to fail to meet these goals and bring shame to our great state. I'm lucky to live in the Twin Cities, and I love living in the Twin Cities. As no one in my house has a vehicle, I rely on robust public transportation to get to work, to go get groceries, and yes, to even be here today. Slashing the environmental protections in this bill will also force us to fall back on our commitment to public transportation, throwing my life and the lives of many into chaos. I'm here to remind you of the promises you've already made to sustainability and public transportation. I'm here to remind you that the quality of life in this state and our reputation as a leader in both of these categories relies on you keeping these promises and rejecting any cuts and delays. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Laura Ziegler, followed by Catherine Cuffman on deck. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Chair Kosnick, Laura Ziegler with Associated General Contractors. Our folks across the state build the transportation networks, infrastructure, water, roads, bridges, transit. We build it all. And we recognize the hard decisions that you all have to make and want to recognize the work of this committee and the co-chairs. It's never easy when you have a zero budget target, and we just want to recognize the work that you have all done and those important conversations. So two provisions related to funding and then two related to policy that I will comment on today. First off, we appreciate the state road construction as well as the MnDOT requests and appropriations that are included, particularly the Blatnick Bridge. We also recognize that funding for the Corridors of Commerce and Local Road Wetland Replacement Program and the Local Road and Bridge Programs. We will be encouraging your colleagues in the Capital Investment Committee to pull together a bonding bill as those are interrelated. Also with respect to the inclusion of the electric vehicle fee increase, this has been discussed for many years among several of us here. And just want to acknowledge the increase in that and really the groups that have been skeptical over the years have really come forward. There's been many groups and we've had good conversations and talking about parity. So just want to recognize that movement as well. And then finally, the two policy provisions. Thank you for including the clarification to exempt aggregate materials from the retail delivery fee. I understand you might have an amendment later that would address road construction materials. We would also be supportive of that should you take that up. And finally, although it's not expressly in the bill in certain areas, with respect to work zone safety, we know several of the members on this committee are carrying legislation. It just didn't get through this year that would give an extra nod, extra tools in the toolbox to address work zone safety, to keep our workers safe when they are building our transportation systems. And I look forward to continuing that conversation, coming back to this committee in the next year and two to talk about some of those speed mitigation efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Catherine Kaufman, followed by Nick Haig.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and the committee. My name is Catherine Kaufman, and I am a resident of House District 61B. I'm here to oppose cuts on transit as a Minnesotan and as an engineer in planning our electric grid. Along with the energy sector, transportation is one of the largest emitters of greenhouse gases. This has been said many times here today. When we need more transmission lines to connect demand to supply, what do? We find non-wire alternatives. Building new lines is like building new highways, the most expensive and last resort. The non-wire alternatives are our core transit infrastructure, cheaper, long-term stability for the transportation sector. I urge the committee to rethink cuts to active transit and metro mobility, adding climate and vehicle miles traveled requirements into new transportation infrastructure projects is not only valuable, but it's cheap. So many Minnesotans are ready to do the important jobs that define and implement long-range transportation planning. Investments in public transit, biking, and walking improve my daily life and make me more hopeful about the future for my family and community in Minnesota. I'm counting on these resources for my future. Sure, we can save some money by excluding these VMT environmental impact assessments, but rest assured we will not be saving money when our public transit infrastructure is sidelined, our community's connectedness degrades, and proliferation of highways continues to intensify carbon in our atmosphere. We've underinvested in affordable and sustainable alternatives to car ownership for decades, and it's time to move forward with that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Nick Haig, followed by Lisa Fries. Welcome to the committee. If you could just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. My name is Nick Haig, and I am the Senior Associate for Electric Vehicles at Fresh Energy. Fresh Energy is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization with over 30 years of experience developing practical clean energy policies that benefit all Minnesotans. Transportation is the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in our state. With federal funding for many important climate-friendly transportation initiatives under threat, it is all the more important that the Minnesota legislature takes action. We thank the committee for the opportunity to weigh in on the transportation omnibus bill. While Fresh Energy supports improvements made to electric-assisted bicycle rebate for 2025, we oppose several other provisions. First, Fresh Energy strongly opposes the delays to the transportation greenhouse gas impact assessment as proposed in Section 7, Subdivision 2A. Climate change is accelerating, and the need for swift and innovative decarbonization has only grown since this law was first passed in 2023. Minnesota cannot afford to delay these assessments that will help us reduce the climate harm of our highest emitting sector. Fresh Energy also opposes any increase to the electric vehicle registration fee. As stated in our previous testimony before this committee, EVs already pay their fair share towards roadway funding. Raising the annual fee would create an unfair financial hurdle at a time when we should be encouraging EV adoption, not imposing new taxes. However, we do support shifting a portion of the existing EV fee into the transportation impact assessment account. Finally, Fresh Energy opposes the funding cuts to transit and active transportation for the Met Council and Greater Minnesota. We urge lawmakers to oppose the above provisions that delay transportation climate impact assessments, raise fees on electric vehicles, and cut transit funding. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next up is Lisa Fries, followed by Bishop Craig Loyola. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Chair Cagle and Chairs Kosnick, and members of the committee. My name is Lisa Fries, and I am the Transportation Services Director for Scott County. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you this morning to testify on the committee's transportation omnibus bill. I want to start out by thanking the committee for including the $22 million in general fund money for the local government road replacement, wetland replacement program. This is a big infusion. This is the biggest infusion we've seen in years, and that investment is really needed for that program to stay viable. It's really important for local road projects, and I can say that it's been really outstanding for us because we've been able to restore a number of wetlands through that program in Scott County. I'd also like to thank the committee for including the $3.8 million in one-time money for local roads and the $3.8 million for local bridges. We know that money is tight, and this investment is critical for maintaining that local infrastructure. We would also like to encourage delaying the greenhouse gas emissions mitigation program to allow time to really get that program right. We met with Representative Kraft and Representative Tapke a couple of weeks ago, and we had a really great conversation about the ideas and options that could be incorporated in making that program right. We think that delaying the greenhouse gas mitigation will allow for more time to get that tool in place to adequately assess things and to work through different ideas like banking credits so that local governments can maybe get credit for those things that we're doing and might be able to do in order to further help reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Finally, we would like to thank the committee for including Representative Kraft's electric vehicle funding bill that would generate mitigation monies for the greenhouse gas emissions. We think these are all steps in the right direction. Thank you again for this time this morning for allowing me to testify.
Thank you very much. The bishop is supposed to be online, or is that correct? Yeah.
Okay, he's online? All right, great. Bishop Loyola, if you could just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Give me just 1 minute. I was just trying to get onto the Zoom.
You're on.
Yeah. I need to find my testimony
again. Oh, okay. Would you like us to come back to you in a few minutes, in a minute?
No, no, I'm good. I'm ready to go. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for fitting me in by Zoom. My name is Craig Loya, and I'm the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Minnesota. And I'm here to testify against the provision in HF 2438 that includes a three-year delay in implementing the 2023 law that requires the Department of Transportation to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and vehicle miles traveled. As a Christian bishop, I, along with the thousands of Minnesotans who I serve as a spiritual leader, believe that the fundamental purpose of human life is to tend to and care for the world that has been entrusted to us. Our reckless disregard for this primary calling over the past several generations has put our planet in a crisis from which, honestly, it may never fully recover, and which puts our very survival as a species in jeopardy. What leaders in every sector and at every level need to do in this moment is to take every urgent action available to us to claim the narrow window for riding the course with the planet that sustains all of our lives. A three-year delay in implementing an important action like this only deepens the very crisis people of faith and so many others are working so hard to address. So I urge all of you in the strongest possible terms to do what is in the clear best interest of Minnesotans and remove the delay in implementing the greenhouse gas emissions and total miles traveled law. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Graham Berg-Moberg, followed by Sherry Munyon. Welcome to the committee. If you could just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and thank you, Co-Chair Kosnick. My name is Graham Berg-Moberg, and I'm with the Minnesota Association of Townships. We understand that the committee is operating in a difficult financial environment, and we appreciate all the work that has gone into handling that. In particular, we appreciate that efforts to ensure that electric vehicles pay their fair share, and we appreciate the committee's decision not to entirely repeal funding mechanisms enacted in 2023. Now, in our view, of course, there is much more work to do to ensure that township roads and bridges are funded at a sustainable level. Nevertheless, we do thank you for your efforts to ensure fair access to transportation for all Minnesotans.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Munyon. Amber Backus, you will be on deck. Welcome to the committee. State your name and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair and Chair Kosnick and Chair Cagle and members of the committee. Sherry Munyon, I'm here today representing the Minnesota Public Transit Association, representing local transit systems throughout all of our counties. Greater Minnesota Transit allows people to get to work, to school, medical appointments, and other important destinations, allowing citizens to remain independent and contribute to their local economy. Residents in Greater Minnesota have longer distances and fewer travel options. The senior population is growing and depends on their community transit to live independently. While funding from the motor vehicle sales tax has increased, the state general fund appropriation for Greater Minnesota Transit has not increased much. In 2021, the appropriation was $17.2 million, and in 2024, the appropriation was $18.1 million. There is a scheduled increase of 1% from 25 to 27, which will bring it to $18.3 million per year. The total state funding for transit operating grants in 2025 was $28.2 million in general fund dollars. If funding is reduced by $6 million for the 2026 grants, systems will struggle mightily to maintain current transit service hours. The Office of Transit at MnDOT currently has a two-page list of approved unfunded projects that include things such as facility rehabs, roof replacements, collision avoidance, warning systems, fare collection systems, and much more. The total of those projects is $12 million. In addition to that, there are another $23 million in needs for facilities in Greater Minnesota. Transit systems are facing a number of challenges, including significant costs for their transit buses, as well as fuel, labor, insurance, and other costs. They are counting on the growth in funding. Your rural communities work closely with their local governments to efficiently and effectively serve their residents. We urge you to eliminate the cuts in the general fund for Greater Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Ms. Backus, followed by Joe McPherson. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Amber Backus. I'm with United Strategies. And after being a Transportation Committee junkie for the last two decades, it's great to see Chairs Cagle and Kosnick come together on a bipartisan basis to put forward a transportation package. I know it hasn't been easy this session, but your leadership is greatly appreciated. On behalf of the Minnesota Inter-County Association, which represents 17 of Minnesota's fastest-growing counties, thank you for devoting resources to chronically underfunded but critically important statewide programs that just maintain our state's road and bridge infrastructure, including the Local Road Improvement Program, the Local Bridge Rehabilitation Program, and the Local Government Road Wetland Replacement Program. We also appreciate the work you've done to provide funding for the Transportation Impact Assessment and Mitigation Account and for providing an additional year for the mechanics of, and administration of the Greenhouse Gas Mitigation Program, since most of the parameters, especially with regard to the portfolio assessment, have yet to be defined and there are lots of unanswered questions. For MICA counties with public deputy registrars, thanks for allowing deputy registrars to collect fees on what had been previously no-fee transactions. And the one thing I would just like to add that I hope we can continue to work on is we do appreciate having more guidelines around Metro County reporting that is in sections 47 and 51, but there are a few things that don't work in terms of timelines and some of the things you're asking for that counties don't capture now. And since there are significant penalties, we hope we can work through those with you to make sure we're doing what we should be doing. So with that, I appreciate your time and thank you and the committee for all the good work you've done this year.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Joe McPherson, followed by Joe Harrington. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, good morning, Chair Cagle and Chair Kosnick and committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. My name is Joe McPherson. I'm the Chief Officer of Transportation and County Engineer for Anoka County. There's a few things I want to go over today and touch on. First off, you've heard from some of my colleagues and our organizations here. We appreciate all the effort and emphasis you guys have put on the Local Road Wetland Replacement Program, the Local Road Improvement Program, and the Local Bridge Replacement Program. Those are key programs that really help all of us across the state, and they're important to all of us. And the other one that I wanted to touch on is we appreciate Representative Kraft and the proposal with the electric vehicles and the surcharge, increasing that to help pay for some of these mitigation and offset measures that will be implemented here with the greenhouse gas, vehicle miles traveled reduction legislation. And lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about that and the proposal to delay that by a year and looking at that. As a transportation professional, looking at roadways, roadways are more than just cars, pedestrians, bicyclists, and that it's really a community effort. So when you look at that, a roadway really shapes what your community looks like. It shapes what your economic vitality looks like. It also shapes what tourism looks like in the state of Minnesota. And so as a professional, we have to balance all of these different measures as we move forward with the roadway construction project. In today's arena, it takes 3 to 4 years to develop a project. We go through public engagement. We go through environmental analysis. We go through the stage of trying to secure the necessary funding from the different funding mechanisms that are out there today. It's a very vast and large, complicated process. We enjoy it. We're engineers. We love crunching numbers. We like tackling problems. But with that being said, I think it's important that we get this right. We get this legislation right. And so MnDOT's TAC, the Technical Advisory Committee that's working on this legislation right now, they have more work to do. They've come a long way. And so it's important that we give them the adequate time to develop a program and process that's going to serve our communities and serve our state for the future to come. So with that, I appreciate the opportunity to comment and stand for questions.
Thank you very much. Next up is Joe Harrington, followed by Margaret Donahoe. Welcome to the committee. If you could just state your name for the record and proceed with the testimony.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Joe Harrington. I'm the policy manager at R Streets. Our organization aims to build sustainable and safe transportation systems across Minnesota that lead to vibrant communities. I'm here today to voice my strong opposition to the provisions of the omnibus bill that delay and undermine our state's nation-leading climate law and make cuts to transit and active transportation dollars that keep Minnesotans moving regardless of how they choose to travel. For those of you who know our work, you'll know that we agree with the Commissioner and MnDOT on very few things, but this is one of the things that we do agree on, and we are really happy to all get behind this nation-leading standard, and I want to emphasize that all Minnesotans have the right to a healthy, stable environment. It's an economic terms. It's a public good. We've already heard the standard's benefits to the bottom line of households across our state, as well as the billions it'll save our state at large. With our gloomy fiscal outlook, Minnesotan taxpayers are going to look to those who overturn the standard when their transportation costs continue to rise and wonder why we aren't acting with fiscal responsibility in mind. Cuts to active transportation and transit across our state also reduce costs and improve safety, so it's really terrible to see these cuts, and we want to see these reversed and promote these priorities. Before I end, I want to speak in support of Section 46 of this bill that outlines common sense, transparency, and accountability measures and reporting requirements for MnDOT. As you all know, information is power, and MnDOT does not want legislators or Minnesotans across our state to have easy access to important information on projects and fiscal information that underpin these projects as they shape communities. Similar measures have passed with bipartisan support in other states. We really need to open MnDOT's black box and ensure that our state's transportation dollars go to work, solving our most pressing problems. I will remind the committee that last I heard, MnDOT has still not met its current reporting requirements that were due several months ago, so we really want to make sure that we all have the information we need on this. Thank you all for your time and consideration. I urge you to prioritize affordability, safety, and climate priorities by reversing these transit and active transportation cuts and implementing the VMT standard very quickly and very robustly. Thank you all for your consideration and time today. I appreciate the consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Margaret Donahoe, followed by Sam Kruger. Welcome to the committee. Ms. Donahoe, state your name for the record, please, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Kosnick. I'm Margaret Donahoe, Executive Director of the Minnesota Transportation Alliance. Appreciate the opportunity to testify today on the Omnibus Transportation Funding Bill. As Minnesota struggles and all states struggle to fund our existing roads and bridges, I want to thank you for maintaining many of the revenue increases passed in 2023, including the delivery fee. And also really want to express our strong support for the increase in the electric vehicle fee. Electricity is the only alternative fuel that is not taxed at a rate comparable to the gasoline and diesel tax rate in Minnesota. And as the gap shrinks between the cost of internal combustion engine vehicles and electric vehicles, we think it is time to have more parity in that. We also really appreciate new revenue going into the mitigation account in the special revenue fund to deal with greenhouse gas emission impacts. So we believe that it is important to have new revenue to deal with that. We also appreciate giving MnDOT and the Technical Advisory Committee for Greenhouse Gas Emissions Implementation more time to develop mitigation strategies and funding options. We also really want to express our support for funding for the Local Road Improvement Program, the Local Bridge Program, and the Local Road Wetland Improvement Program. Those are critical programs. We hope they will also get more funding in the capital bonding bill. We are concerned about the cuts to transit, both in the metro area and in greater Minnesota, and hope those can be reduced or eliminated. And we also appreciate the transparency initiatives in this bill so that people can understand how our transportation dollars are being funded. I just want to conclude by pointing out that if you look at MnDOT's 20-year highway investment plan, you will see that very few dollars are planned for any kind of capacity expansion. The vast majority of dollars over the next 20 years will go for maintaining our existing roads and bridges.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Sam Kruger, followed by Darren Lee. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Sam Kruger with Hill Capital Strategies, representing several of our clients today, notably the Deputy Register Business Owners Association, Deputy Register number 150, Copart, and Enterprise Rent-A-Car. First, I'd like to thank you for the inclusion of the new rental car license plate denomination. This language was the result of a lot of work and many conversations with DPS and other stakeholders. It'll create a huge efficiency in the system. It will be Minnesota's solution to a problem that many other states have solved in similar ways. Second, I would like to thank you for the inclusion of the language related to auto auction and insurance companies requesting vehicle titles. This language creates a process for insurance companies to request titles for vehicles that they have already paid their claimants for. It also gives auction companies a way to move abandoned vehicles that they currently cannot sell and their owners do not want. Third, I want to thank you for including the language that allows the deputy registrar that already exists in the city of Circle Pines to become a full service provider. This will be a huge boon to the people of the North Metro, including Circle Pines, Centerville, and Lino Lakes, which do not have a dedicated full service provider of their own. These are fast growing communities and they need service now and they'll need it more in the future. Last but certainly not least, I want to thank you for including the governor's recommended allocation for no-fee reimbursement for deputy registrars. Deputy registrars provide Minnesotans from all corners of the state with critical and necessary services. As more transactions move online, we are not seeing a corresponding decrease in workload. In fact, what we are seeing is a tectonic shift in the market of transactions that all deputies are responsible for. Deputies are seeing more and more of their bread-and-butter transactions being moved away from their offices, while they perform more of the time-consuming back-office transactions. In addition to this shift, deputies are also seeing numbers of customers who are coming for troubleshooting with help for help with online and mail-in transactions. And while this bill does not solve this problem, it is a big step in the right direction to ensure the continued vitality of Minnesota's deputy network and ensures that deputies will get paid for much more of the work that they do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Darren Lee, followed by Aaron LeBray. Welcome to the committee. Proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chair Kosnick. Appreciate your work on this bill and the opportunity to testify today. My name is Darren Lee, testifying today on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities and the Aggregate and Ready Mix Association. I want to just go through quickly a couple of items to highlight in the bill that we're very supportive of and appreciative of. We appreciate matching the governor's recommendations on state road construction on page 6, the corridors of commerce program, the increase in the base from $50 million per biennium to $80 million per biennium. That's one of the most important programs to Greater Minnesota, and we really appreciate that inclusion. The local road improvement program, local bridge replacement program on page 11, I know that you have challenging decisions to make in the budget, but we appreciate you finding some dollars for those programs as well. As others have said, the local road wetland replacement program on page 20. And I don't think it's been mentioned, but the Transportation Economic Development Infrastructure Program, $15 million on page 7, is a program that we're very supportive of. We really appreciate that funding that you found there. Join others with the electric vehicle fee increase. We support that additional funding to the HUTDF. on the greenhouse gas emissions issue, you know, I've attended virtually every meeting that the Technical Advisory Committee has had, and before that, the working group that was established in 2023, and it's become, you know, MnDOT has put in an enormous amount of time and effort into implementing this legislation, and it's become clear that this, you know, this is an extremely challenging thing to implement. And so I think it's, you know, appropriate to allow a little more time to stand that program up, to do the traffic demand modeling, figure out the tools for how their mitigation will be implemented and coordinated. Madam Chair, I want to pass along our thanks from our members from Crookston, who are really appreciative that you included Highway 2 in the bill and the Empowering Small Communities program. Real quickly, on behalf of Aggregate and Ready Mix Association, once again, Chair Cagle, want to thank you for championing the asset sustainability ratio legislation as well as the resilient pavement legislation. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Aaron LeBrahe, followed by Eric Mischke. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Chair Cagle and Kosnick and committee members. Thank you for including funding for the interchange at Interstate 35 and County Road 50 in the bill. I'm Erin LeBrie, Transportation Director for Dakota County.
Interstate 35 carries over 110,000 vehicles per day, with an additional 30,000 projected into the future. There's significant congestion on 35 at Conroe 50 in Lakeville due to a bottleneck. The backups also result in a high number of crashes. This location has four times the state's critical crash rate, which is extremely high. The congestion and safety issues affect not only drivers in Dakota County, but regions extending far beyond our county borders. MnDOT recently completed a corridor study on 35 through Lakeville up to the 35E-35W split in Burnsville, and the recommendation from that study was the need for additional lanes, including MnPass. That corridor project cost estimate is upwards of $200 million. Dakota County is proposing to reconstruct the interchange at County Road 50, which is a key first step towards the larger corridor project. The interchange would replace the existing bridges and widen them to allow for future MnPass. County Road 50 goes under the 35 bridges and is constrained due to the bridge widths, which also creates congestion on our county road. Additional lane is needed, but the bridges need to be reconstructed to allow for that. We are requesting funding for the infrastructure improvements on Interstate 35 as part of the interchange. Included are the new bridges, an auxiliary lane, and ramp improvements. The city of Lakeville has invested over $20 million in the last 20 years, acquiring right-of-way and doing improvements in preparation for a new interchange. Dakota County is also committed to funding the County Road 50 portion of the project. The I-35 Solutions Alliance also supports this project. Lastly, on a separate note, we support the greenhouse gas revisions to allow appropriate time to assess practical and effective mitigation tools that the transportation agencies are tasked with. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Perfect, thank you. Next up is Eric Mischke, followed by John Thorson. Welcome to the committee.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Eric Mischke, CEO of SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, a 36-year-old Minnesota-based national nonprofit focused on suicide prevention. I'm here today in strong support of $15 million in funding to install permanent suicide prevention barriers on the Washington Avenue Bridge. Let me be clear, physical barriers save lives. They are a proven method to interrupt suicide impulsivity. They give good Samaritans and first responders an opportunity to act, and they give someone in crises the time they need to choose to live. The truth is, if there had been physical barriers on this bridge 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, there would be hundreds of fewer families mourning the loss of a loved one. It is estimated that between 3 to 5 people a year die on this location, and this bridge has been a known location of tragedy for more than half a century. And yes, those numbers are horrifying, but every one of them is a person. And every person lost sends out a ripple of heartbreak, a parent, a sibling, a child, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, gone. Each life lost becomes a lifetime of grief for the people they leave behind. And the truth is, if a barrier had been in place on November 9th, 2023, Kayla Gable might still be alive. Because there wasn't, and because she isn't, her mother, MJ Weiss Blair, enlisted SAVE and others to help turn grief into action. For over a year, we've worked together, not just for Kayla, but for every family we still have time to protect from this kind of pain. Thanks to the University of Minnesota President Dr. Rebecca Cunningham, a temporary barrier is now in place, and it is saving lives. Thanks to Representative Hansen, Chair Kosnick, and others, we are now closer than ever to a permanent solution, one that will save even more lives. And thanks to MJ and to Kayla's hope, helping others, protecting everyone, the legislature has heard what too many were unwilling to say out loud for too long. This bridge needs physical barriers now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have John Thorson, followed by Bentley Graves. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you and good morning, Madam Chair, Chair Kosnick. John Thorson, I'm with Layuna, Minnesota, North Dakota, and I'm here today on behalf of the five building trades unions that build, maintain, and construct our roads and bridges across the state. In addition to LIUNA, that's the operating engineers, the iron workers, the carpenters, and the cement masons. First, I want to thank the committee's work in upholding the integrity of the transportation funding streams in this bill. As you know, there is a multi-billion dollar deficit in the decades to come, and it's important that we maintain the revenue sources that were existing and were passed in 23. We also strongly support the investments in the Corridors of Commerce program, the local wetland replacement program, local road and bridge replacement program, and as these investments are the backbone of our state's transportation infrastructure system. And we also appreciate the inclusion of the electric vehicle surcharge and recognition that road user taxes on electric vehicles are an important mix and way forward to maintain our roads and bridges. The bottom line, Madam Chair, LIUNA members and the members of the building trades are ready to get to work on building and maintaining our roads and infrastructure, and appreciate your support going forward.
Thank you very much. Next up is Bentley Graves, followed by Jim Hurst.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Chair Kosnick, and members for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Bentley Graves with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We too want to offer our thanks to the members of this committee and you both as leaders for the work you've done on this. This is a difficult job, but we appreciate the perseverance in bringing a bill forward today. We also appreciate, as was stated by many testifiers, the investments made in state road construction, the Block Bridge, the local roads and bridges, the wetland replacement program, Corridors of Commerce, TED. These are all important investments for moving commerce around the state, and we appreciate that very much. We've heard some today about some of the pieces of the bill that get at increased transparency and accountability of the department, but I do want to take a minute just to focus on a small piece of this bill that seeks to build on work MnDOT is already doing in this space. I think, as many on this committee know and as discussed in the past, current state statute requires MnDOT to implement efficiencies equal to 15% of the appropriations made from the Trunk Highway Fund that are above base for FY 18 and 19, and it's required to deploy these savings for construction, maintenance, and rehabilitation of trunk highways, including roads. However, historically, MnDOT has had some difficulty identifying where these savings have been reinvested into the system. Given this fact, we very much appreciate the inclusion of language on lines 7.24 to 7.26, directing a small portion of the savings from MnDOT's work on efficiencies to the Corridors of Commerce program for each of the next 2 years. We see this as a small yet important step forward in the effort to increase transparency into this process and better track the reinvestment of these savings going forward. Having said that, our hope is that as this process moves forward, we can work to find a way to fully leverage these savings in an ongoing, permanent, meaningful, and transparent way. Putting these efficiency savings to work would provide the resources needed to advance critical projects and work around the state, and will build upon the great work that MnDOT has done for the better part of the last decade. And most importantly, we believe that doing so will help build continued support for and increase transparency around the department's work to stretch taxpayer dollars invested in our transportation infrastructure. Finally, Madam Chair, I just want to say, too, that we very much appreciate the bipartisan work that is reflected in this bill to ensure that electric vehicles pay a commensurate amount going forward to support our infrastructure. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. Next up is Jim Hurst, followed by Tom Warner. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Cagle and Chair Kosnick and members. I'm Jim Hurst on behalf of the Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association, an association that represents 150 offices across the state that include county, city, and privately operated deputies. I'd like to begin by saying thank you for the inclusion of the no-fee reimbursement language in the bill. And I also want to recognize and thank the leadership of Deputy Commissioner O'Hearn, who followed through on a commitment that she made with us at the end of last session in regards to this. We certainly hope that the $2.1 million per year for the next biennium will suffice for this. Time will tell, of course. We do have concerns about the online renewal options that is being proposed by the department in the bill for driver's license transactions. we are not opposed to doing things that the customer wants and that things that are customer friendly. However, I'd like to remind members that over the past 5 years, the legislature has appropriated close to $500,000 on studies, independent studies. The first one, the Rick King report that some of you may recall. The second one, most recently released earlier this year, that has not been given any hearing, and that is the Barry Dunn report. There is also an OLA report in between of these as well. These reports all recognized that deputies needed no-fee reimbursements, which fortunately is in this bill. They've also recognized that, yes, certain online transactions should be considered going forward. However, with the caveat that the filing fees are shared with the deputies at a range of 25 to 50%. That is not in this bill. So I encourage the committee to either strike this or study it, or if it moves forward, please do revenue sharing. And certainly the department has said they do not believe in paying deputies for work that they don't do. What they forget to realize is that since the advent of MNLARS, which was carried over with MnDrive, the department has transferred a substantial workload onto the deputies, which they have not been compensated for. And with that, I thank you very much. My time is up.
Thank you. Next, we have up Tom Werner.
Thank you, Co-Chairs Kogel and Kosnick and members of the Transportation Committee for the opportunity to testify today and your work on this bill. My name is Tom Werner. I'm the Executive Director of the Duluth Airport Authority. The aviation cluster centered around the Duluth International Airport contributes $1.4 billion in annual economic impact and supports 4,000 jobs. DLH is home to Cirrus Aircraft, the Minnesota Air National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing, Monaco Air Duluth, Lake Spirit College's Center for Advanced Aviation, and passenger service providers such as Delta, United, and Minnesota's own Sun Country Airlines, totaling 87,000 annual operations. This unique mix of fast-moving military jets, research and development flights, slower-moving recreational aircraft, helicopters, and commercial service aircraft creates a complex airspace where air traffic controllers quarterback movement and are vital to aviation safety. In addition, Duluth's air traffic controllers assist aircraft to come and go safely from numerous airports throughout northeast Minnesota. This project is important to safe air commerce throughout the region. The Duluth International Airport's 70-year-old tower has the distinction of being the third oldest air traffic control facility in the country. Historically, there's not been a federal program to fund replacement of a locally owned air traffic control tower. That changed with the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which created a competitive grant program. It's a $5 billion program with a five-year window for funding where the federal government will pay 95% of eligible costs. The new $72 million air traffic control tower at DLH. Thank you for the inclusion of the $10 million appropriation into House File 2438. This goes a long way to securing the full request of $14 million from the state and will help us leverage a considerable federal investment. The state's contribution will fund federally ineligible portions of the project and help us secure funding that would not otherwise come to Minnesota. The time is now. We are poised to support the next generation of air commerce in our region. A state-of-the-art air traffic control facility will ensure DLH provides safe air travel for decades to come. Thank you for your consideration of this bill and this important infrastructure and safety project.
Thank you very much. That concludes our list of testifiers, unless there's anybody from the public that would wish to testify. Please go up to the rostrum. Thank you, and if you could please identify yourself for the record.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Arlene Matheson, and I'm speaking on behalf of Elders Climate Action, a Twin Cities chapter, a nonpartisan group of about 150 and growing seniors who are concerned about the climate crisis and advocate for policies that will reduce greenhouse gases in our atmosphere to level consistent with life on our planet. We urge the committee to reconsider the delay of the greenhouse gas emissions vehicles miles traveled provision in Article 2, Section 7 of this bill. We believe the climate crisis warrants keeping the original date and moving as quickly as possible to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from highway traffic in Minnesota. We ask the committee to keep in mind that every delay in reducing emissions makes it that much harder to deal with extreme weather events and other climate disasters that will happen more frequently and with greater intensity if we don't do more to reduce emissions now. We also oppose cuts in transit and active transportation funding. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments today.
Thank you very much. And next up, if you could just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Cagle, Chair Kosnick, and certainly members of the committee for not only work on this omnibus bill, but your continued leadership and efforts in all things transportation for the state of Minnesota. My name is Joe Triplett. I'm the Public Works Director and County Engineer for Chisago County. We're about 35 minutes up the road. Chisago County appreciates the inclusion of the $3.5 million appropriation in the DE. I'll speak louder. For our proposed roundabout project on Trunk Highway 8 and our County State Aid Highway 21 in the city of Schaefer. The total estimated project cost is only $5.5 million, and the county we applied for and were granted $2 million already in Highway Safety Improvement Program dollars. So really, the $3.5 million ask is essentially for the MnDOT portion. The county will deliver the project, design, construction, right away. This intersection has a history of fatal and serious accidents. It's about double the critical crash rate. In the last handful of years, we've had three fatal and serious accidents, including one local bicyclist. Crossing the highway is very dangerous. The city of Schaefer has their fire department on the north side of Highway 8, and they have a lot of volunteer firefighters on the south side. So when a call comes in, there's usually critical delays in getting those firefighters across that highway and to where they need to get to. So this investment will not only help in that endeavor, but a roundabout is a proven safety measure, not only for our vehicular traffic, but for our bike and ped traffic. This also builds on previous legislative commitments on Highway 8. As you may know, the county is also leading the efforts to reconstruct Highway 8 from I-35, the first 8 miles into Chisago City. This is a huge mobility and safety project and access management as well. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Is there anybody else from the public that wishes to testify? Come on up, Mr. LeBeau. Welcome to the committee. Just state your name for the record and proceed.
All right. Thank you, Chair Cagle, Chair Kosnick, and committee members. I am Dan LeBeau with the Concrete Paving Association of Minnesota. Thank you for your prior hearing on language to create the Resilient Paving Program and including this language and associated funding in this bill. The Resilient Paving Program represents a new vision to increase the lifespan of our pavements, which will increase both the fiscal and the environmental sustainability of our pavements over the full life cycle. By increasing the design lives of critical pavements, we also start to reduce the frequency of repairs, the construction impacts of which affect all businesses and residents within the state. Thank you again for your bipartisan support of this new Resilient Paving Program.
Thank you so much. All right, last call. All right, come on up.
Hello, committee and chairs. My name is Pat Thompson. I'm a St. Paul resident. I have nothing prepared. I was diagnosed with breast cancer last summer, and I was in chemo, and that's why my hair is so short. It's just recovering. I just want to say that I really hope you will change your minds about the greenhouse gas emissions delay and vehicle miles traveled, because I want our children to have a future in our state. So please, change your minds about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come on up. State your name for the record. Proceed with your testimony, Ms. Braddock.
I felt left out. Abby Braddock, Minnesota Asphalt Pavement Association.
Most of my colleagues have pointed out the wonderful things in this bill. We really appreciate your thoughtful work this year. There's one part that we are still working on with CPAM about the resilient pavements section. We think that's a good program and a good framework for thinking about pavements, but we do have some changes that we'd like to see within the formulas and the specifics of the plan, so we'll continue to work with both MnDOT and CPAM on those, and maybe we can address those as we move forward.
All right. Thank you very much. Last call, for real, this time. All right. We will close public testimony and move to amendments, the fun part.
And Chair Cagle?
Yes.
You and I discussed earlier both a bio break and just short recess for the committee members to
cool off. All right, we'll take a quick recess.
Cool off the room, but also just to huddle the amendments.
Sure. So quick maybe, recess for about 5 minutes. Thanks. All right, I'm going to call this meeting back to order. Thank you. All right, so we are moving to amendments now. The first amendment on our agenda is the A-10. Representative Olson, would you like to offer the A-10?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to offer the A-10 amendment. This amendment purely changes the date in which a report is required or a study is required. They didn't have enough time to get it done initially, and this would give them just a little bit more time to conduct the study.
Thank you. Chair Kosnick?
Madam Chair, the A-10 was also introduced as in bill form. For some reason or another, the advocates were a little late in getting that introduced, but I did believe I authored it, and so I would recommend this vote with your agreement.
Thank you very much, and I would recommend members vote yes on this as well. So any further discussion to the amendment? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Next up is the A-11. Representative Anderson, would you like to offer the A-11?
Thank you. This amendment is simple.
If I could interrupt for 1 second, Madam
Chair. Oh, sure.
Yep.
I believe we should probably adopt the A-1, or are all these amendments?
Oh.
Where is the A-1?
Sorry.
I didn't have that one.
Or, excuse me, the DE-1, and then the other amendments are written to that, if I could.
We're amending the DE.
Amending the DE?
No.
We.
Madam Chair, we don't need to adopt the DE-1.
No, we're amending the DE-1.
We need to move the DE-1, though?
The DE-1 has been moved.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yep.
We can proceed and leave the DE-1 open while we talk about the other ones.
Correct.
And, Madam Chair, one other note, just for the committee's understanding and reclarification, I'm having the pages just pass out that you and I have previously agreed on this bill. It's been painstakingly, it's no secret, the provisions and stuff, other than we have an agreement that if you and I agree on amendments that are generally non-controversial, that those amendments may be taken if they're technical and non-controversial. And so I just wanted to share that that's what's being passed around, and then we can proceed. Thank you.
All right. Representative Anderson, would you like to move the A-1 to the DE-1? Or the A-11, you. I'm sorry, to the DE-1.
I will. Thank you. This is a non-controversial amendment. Essentially, it puts language back in that allows MnDOT to turn back the section of 244 in Delwood. They're already taking back the Matamidi section. The agency is here. I just talked to them again, and they're supportive of that if anyone would like them to testify.
Any further? Chair Kosnick.
Madam Chair, I am familiar with this proposal for Representative Anderson's district. We did not hear the MnDOT policy bill due to the condensed session. If there is agreement, I don't have a problem with it. If there's no agreement, we can continue to work on it during later stages. But if MnDOT is in the room and they want to comment, and I will defer to you as well, Madam Chair.
Mr. Rudin is making his way to the rostrum. Thank you. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Eric Radin, MnDOT Government Affairs. And yes, when we started our proposal process back late last summer, The Delwood portion wasn't ready to proceed, but they have since come to the table, and we think we have an agreement. And so we would like to do the entire turn back to both Matamidi and Delwood, and so we're very supportive of this amendment.
Thank you. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A11, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Next up is the A12, and this is my amendment. What this amendment does is it, in the portal language, it would bring it to a 10-year look forward, which aligns with MnDOT's current planning. And so this was just an amendment to try and streamline the portal process as well. So if there is any questions or discussion to the A12, Mr. Chair?
Madam Chair, this I appreciate the amendment. I will encourage my members to support it as a courtesy to you. This was a bill that was not heard during committee, but it is included in the bill. And so I would encourage my members to support it, but I do want to note that it wasn't previously discussed, but as a courtesy, I encourage my members and all the committee to adopt it.
Thank you. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A12, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. All right. Representative Jones, would you like to offer the A13?
Yes, I move the A13.
Please explain your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd also like a roll call on this.
Roll call being requested.
Thank you. So this amendment removes the unnecessary delay of the transportation greenhouse gas emissions impact assessment. I'll refer to it as the GHG law for short. Many testifiers, including the MnDOT commissioner, have shared many reasons why this is an important law. And I agree that it should not be delayed. It is important to mitigate climate change, but that isn't the only reason for this law. I'd like to highlight those by asking three important questions. First, why do we want to forego the financial benefits of the GHG law? Delaying this will cost Minnesotans billions of dollars in what would otherwise be savings. From the GHG law, RMI's study from 2023 showed that by 2030, each Minnesota household would save $500 per year on vehicle operating costs from reduced trips to the pump for gas and to the mechanic for maintenance. At the state level, those benefits would add up to $35 billion in total savings by 2050. And those figures exclude any benefits of families being able to reduce their household vehicle ownership in response to improved access to alternative transportation options. Minnesotans, from the delay in the current bill, would not see these savings if this law is implemented. Second, as Representative Kraft has noted before, we don't have a Department of Highways. We have a Department of Transportation. And it's time to think differently about how people move, about how we deal with congestion, and to think holistically about the needs of all Minnesotans, including the 1 in 5 seniors that we heard about in the state government committee who can't drive. This bill is a critical piece, the GHG law is a critical piece to that. And so my second question is, why deny Minnesotans a complete transportation system? The GHG law is critical to building a system for every Minnesotan. It means being smart about maintaining the fourth largest road system of any state in the country. It means jobs for building LRT, which I used to get here this morning, and I know a number of other people were too. I saw them on the train. And for bus rapid transit, like the Orange Line and the Gold Line that was recently unveiled. And my last question is, why don't we want to take seriously the injuries and the deaths of Minnesotans that happen on our roads? The GHG law by 2023, through the expansion of transportation choices, would prevent 65 deaths and 1,000 injuries per year from avoided car crashes, as projected. This is because single occupancy vehicles are by far the most dangerous form of transportation. How many of us know someone who was injured or killed in a car crash? Well, if you don't, I was one of them. I was injured in a car crash and was wheelchair bound for a period of time. I also, one of my good high school friends of mine was killed in a separate crash. So we need to take opportunities like the greenhouse gas bill or greenhouse gas law seriously as a way of creating safety on our roads. By 2050, achieving the goals of that policy would prevent 2,800 deaths and 42,000 injuries in total. Delaying the GHG law is wrong for a cost standpoint, from service standpoint, and for the safety of our transportation system, not to mention the climate. I urge all members to support this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Jones, for bringing this amendment. A number of comments. In some of the testimony, it was referenced, we're just delaying it a year. Let's be clear, that's disingenuous. The law is in effect right now. What is being talked about to delay by a year is in 2023, we put in place a technical implementation group that advised the legislature that over time, it would be good to get to a more portfolio approach of projects. We modified the law last year to take into account this input from these technical experts so that, and we gave them a little bit of money to be able to evolve our tools to get to a portfolio approach by August 1st of 2027. What this bill now before us is aiming to do is to say delay everything, something that is already happening, until 2028. Now, let me also be clear. We put this in place in 2023. We didn't say it had to be started right away. We said 2025. We put two-year ramp to prepare and for this being implemented. And by delaying to 2028, we're talking about projects that would start being built in 2032 in the STIP. Look, from a climate perspective, that is irresponsible. With everything that is happening, with what we're seeing, the impacts on Minnesota, on our shrinking winters, on the increasing droughts, on the wildfire, I mean, it's just irresponsible. Now, but I even want to shift a little bit. Some of the testifiers said we need to give MnDOT more time. The folks that are asking for more time are the ones that are being asked to think differently. MnDOT is not asking for more time. This technical implementation group that we put in place in 2023 and came back in 2024 said we can implement this. We can move forward. And we then can add some tools so that over time we can move to this portfolio approach. I listened to this technical group and brought modifications to the program last year. We are being responsible in how we're implementing this. I'll also say this law did not create the goals that MnDOT has. It is just to help them actually achieve the goals that they have. And I'll note that Commissioner Dobenberger earlier said delaying this would remove the most significant tool MnDOT has. If you care about climate change, transportation is our number one source of greenhouse gases in Minnesota. And passenger vehicles are by far the largest part of that. To decarbonize transportation, two things: fuels, electrifying things, making fuels more efficient, and setting up our lives so we can drive less and live them fully. This law especially gets at that miles driven category. But look, I want to shift and not talk about climate anymore on this. Right. And I really implore you to listen to me carefully, because this law in and of itself, totally separate from climate, is what we need to do from a transportation perspective, totally separately. And I want to start by talking about one of the key assumptions that has been misproven over the past decades about highways and transportation. It is that if there is congestion, one of the ways, a way to address it is to increase lanes, to widen roads. That doesn't work. There's been all kinds of studies, but one that I think is really good, looked at from 1993 to 2017, 100 areas around the U.S. And in those 100 areas, this was done by Transportation America, the population grew by 32%. The lane miles in those metro areas grew by 42%. So more lanes per population. Do you know what the congestion grew? 144%. This is screaming out to us that our approach to building transportation needs to change. That's what this law is about. This law is making sure we take that kind of thing into account as we expand our transportation system. Now, how do you know it's the right thing to do? Well, look at cost, right? Representative Jones spoke about one aspect of cost. Other aspects of cost are things like if we are able to live our lives and drive less, there's less pollution, right? And that translates into healthier people, less asthma, less health costs. The other thing it does, and this overlaps on safety, is it saves lives. And actually, by the way, when people die, it costs a lot of money. This law, if we can continue and stick with it, can save 65 lives a year in Minnesota. We have almost 400 people that die on our roads. Now, we don't hear about it so much because we're just so immune to hearing about people dying. To get at this issue, we have to address root cause things and change the way we think about stuff. This is about that. The other thing I would say is who likes to spend time in their car in congestion? I don't think any of us do. We address that not by adding lanes. We address that by thinking differently about our transportation infrastructure, right? And you don't do that overnight either. We're not going to say, you know what, all people, you got to stop driving. That's ridiculous, right? That's not what we need to do. But it's these kind of policies that force us across the state to think differently so that over time, bit by bit, people will have better lives because they don't have to spend as much time in their damn cars in congestion. Now, some of the other concerns that I've heard raised about this, one is, there have been some great ideas that have come up. One of the testifiers spoke about the concept of banking credits. Like if you do a project a couple years in the past and that maybe it's a pedestrian bridge and reduces stuff, being able to use those to apply later. Well, I actually took that feedback over the past month and have already spoken to MnDOT about it, and the Technical Advisory Committee is starting to investigate how to do that. We can take these ideas and weave it in over time, but the process is working now. The last thing I will say is, I urge you for many reasons to accept this amendment. I'm happy to work with anyone on how we can address our system, make our roads and our investments more efficient, more cost-effective, and invest in the right things. But this amendment, I urge you to accept it so our system does a better job at moving people to where they want to go with less congestion, with less of an impact on people's health, in a way that saves them money, and in a way where fewer people are killed. And so I urge your support of this amendment.
Further discussion to the amendment? Chair Kosnick?
I urge a no vote.
Thank you. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Co-chair Cagle.
Votes aye.
Co-chair Kosnick.
No.
Vice Chair Ream.
Aye.
Ream aye. Vice Chair Myers.
Nay.
Myers nay. Representative Anderson.
No.
Anderson no. Representative Berg.
Yes.
Berg, aye. Representative Fogelman?
No.
Fogelman, no. Representative Green?
Yes.
Green, aye. Representative Jones?
Yes.
Jones, aye. Representative Joy?
No.
Joy, no. Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Kraft, aye. Representative Murphy?
No.
Murphy, no. Representative Olson? Olson, no. Representative Sensomura?
Yes.
Senator Mura, aye. Representative Scraba?
Nay.
Scraba, nay. Representative Tabke?
Aye.
Tabke, aye. Madam Chair, there are 8 ayes and 8 nays.
There being 8 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A14 amendment. Representative Kraft, would you like to move the A14?
Yes, I would. Got to shift gears here a little bit. I move the A14.
Would you please explain your amendment?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. So we didn't get to hear my bill, HF 1817, on Monday this week. But it did propose to raise the EV annual surcharge, but from $75 to $100. And I would say, but wow, almost tripling these fees to $200. Yikes. Now, let me explain why. My sense is there's concern that EV owners aren't paying their fair share of road upkeep expenses because they don't pay the gas tax. But actually, let's look at the data here. The Department of Transportation estimated in 2022 that Minnesotans drive on average 13,957 miles per year. The gas tax is 31.8 cents per gallon. So think about the gas tax. You pay less if you drive less, and you pay less if you have a fuel-efficient vehicle. I think we could all agree that EVs are pretty fuel-efficient. The MPG equivalent of EVs tends to be over 100. So let's take that 13,957 miles per year and look at a car that gets 40 miles per gallon. A car that gets 40 miles per gallon would spend $111 on the gas tax, driving on average. A car like a Prius that gets 50 miles per gallon would spend $89. So I am supportive of increasing EV fees, but to $200 is just too much. So I would encourage us all to consider going to $125. The other thing that I would add back in here, which was pulled out, was I do think that as we have an inflation indexing on the gas tax side of things, it would only be reasonable and fair to have that on the EV side of things. So I add back in the amendment inflation indexing that pans that to the same formula as the gas tax, although it's applied every 3 years, so you don't have weird numbers and easier to implement. The other thing that the change that I make is to make the increase between 75 and 125, put that all into the greenhouse gas mitigation fund. This keeps the current $75 whole and takes the increase, puts it in that fund, and if that fund isn't used, it all goes back to the highway user tax fund, so distribution fund. So I'd ask for your support.
Thank you. Any discussion to the amendment? Chair Kosnick?
Chair Kosnick recommends a no vote.
I'd like a roll call.
Roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Cagle, aye. Co-chair Kosnick?
No.
Kosnick, no. Vice Chair Ream?
Aye.
Ream, aye. Vice Chair Myers?
Nay.
Myers, nay. Representative Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Representative Berg?
Yes.
Berg, aye. Representative Fogelman? Fogelman, no. Representative Green?
Yes.
Green, aye. Representative Jones?
Aye.
Jones, aye. Representative Joy?
No.
Joy, no. Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Kraft, aye. Representative Murphy?
No.
Murphy, no. Representative Olson?
No.
Olson, no. Representative Sensor Mura?
Yes.
Sensor Mura, aye. Representative Scraba? Scraba, no. Representative Tabke?
Aye.
Tabke, aye. Madam Chair, there are 8 ayes and 8 nays.
Being 8 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. Next up, we have the A15. Representative Olson, was that yours?
That is, Madam Chair. Thank you so much. I'd move the A15 amendment. It just is solely based on the conversation that this bill, as a standalone, is stuck in Ways and Means. And when we heard it in committee, we didn't have a fiscal note on it, so there's some questions that remain on this. But due to the fact that I am unwilling to upturn the apple cart with this agreement, and due to the fact that I really desperately don't want to see any substantial changes being made to this without having further conversations on it, I will be withdrawing this amendment.
Thank you. Representative Olson withdraws the A15. Representative Olson, you also have the A16.
I do, Madam Chair. Thank you so much. This is the Department of Transportation's portal website bill that would delete that out of the bill. And the reason for it is we don't really know how much it's going to cost. There's a lot of questions about it, and we also haven't heard this bill in committee. But due to the exact same argument of my previous amendment, although I have some concerns and questions regarding this portal, I am loath to upturn the apple cart and make substantial changes to something that has been so meticulously negotiated over the last 2 weeks. So I will also withdraw this amendment.
Thank you. Representative Olson withdraws the A16. Next up, we have your amendment, Chair Kosnick, the A17. Would you like to describe your amendment, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. This is the author's amendment we discussed yesterday a little bit. I would refer to House Research, Mr. Burris, to discuss and maybe walk us through the finer points of this lovely amendment. Fine piece of legislation.
Mr. Burris.
Madam Chair and members, the A17 amendment contains a number of changes. The vast majority of them quite a few of them are technical in nature. This comes from a review of the DE amendment, by staff, both in the revisor's office and other staff. So there are some changes that include fixing cross references and statutory references, some revisions to meet drafting standards and so forth. There are also a couple of clarifications that are in the language. One is found at 1.4 of the amendment. There's a clarification regarding the metro mobility base beyond the tails. There's also clarifying language substantively. I believe it's the same, but the language is reworked somewhat at 1.20 and 1.21. And then there's some clarifications regarding reporting requirements. This relates to the asset sustainability ratio. The DE amendment has a reference to a report that's actually being eliminated elsewhere in the DE amendment. And so this revises the referencing to where the new centralized reporting is happening. That's found on 2.1 to 2.4, as well as 2.8 to 2.10. And then there is a substantive change that's found at 2.17 in the amendment, and that is the removal of a legislative report on the electric assisted bicycle rebate program.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Any further discussion to the A17?
Madam Chair
Kosnick?
Madam Chair, if it wasn't clear, I will move the A17 amendment.
Chair Kosnick moves the A17 to the DE. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? No. Motion prevails. All right, next up we have the A18. I will move the A18 to the DE. This amendment is taking into consideration some of the exemptions for the delivery fee that we had heard and clarifying some of it. I'd worked with Representative Olson last night on the liquid fuels piece and with staff on road construction material. And so what this one would do is exempt the delivery of fuel sales and also exempt the delivery of road construction materials to political subdivisions, trades, or businesses. Is there any discussion to the amendment?
Chair Kosnick?
Madam Chair, members, this was part of the intent as we discussed both in committee markup and negotiations. I appreciate Chair Cagle offering the amendments and urge support.
Thank you. I always say I should have just stuck with Anderson. Nobody would.
I've never heard anybody mispronounce your name since your freshman term. So,
any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed, motion prevails. Last amendment is Representative Jones. This is the A-19. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move the A-19.
And please explain your amendment.
Yes, so what this amendment does is this is for the Washington Avenue Bridge. Instead of the legislature directing how Hennepin County should use their own sales tax, I think from a good governance perspective, we shouldn't be telling local governments how to, you know, use their own budgets. Instead, this would point the funding to be pulled from the metro area sales tax portion that is already allocated to Hennepin County for active transportation. Everybody follow me there? In 23, we set the metro area sales tax. We increased that by 0.75% of up 1%. That then has an allocation, 17% of that goes to counties. And there is a formula that dictates how much each county gets. So Hennepin County has a specific allocation for that. Within that, 41.5% must be used for active transportation, and the county can generally decide which projects it wants to use it to, for. This legislation or this amendment would make them use that money specifically for this Washington Avenue Bridge project.
Thank you.
Sorry, if I can say one more thing. So the change in amount would be to make it so that we're really focusing on the safety project. As I understand it, the $9 million is needed to make sure that we're creating the suicide prevention and barriers. That's what's needed, and that's what matches in the Senate as well.
Any discussion to the language? Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Jones, I appreciate this effort. I wish we would have had this in front of us a little bit earlier. Maybe it's something we could work on. My recollection is, I think this is similar to the original introduction of Representative Hansen's bill. And I'm not sure that there was adequate funds at that time in that portion. I like your argument about good governance. I also think it's important that this is such a serious issue that it should have been addressed with Hennepin County right away instead of rolling the dice with the lives of college students. This has been an ongoing problem, and it's kind of embarrassing that they're trying to shirk a responsibility and something that's
let's not impugn motives, please.
That's not really a issue of not having the funds. It's an issue of Hennepin County not wanting to take care of this issue. So I am willing to explore this and double check. It's not part of the original agreement. I'm going to urge a no vote today. But as the process moves forward, I want this to be taken care of in one manner or another, but I want to make sure that it's done with funds that are well vetted, appropriate, and available. So members, I would urge a no vote today.
Representative Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Jones and Representative Kosnick. I think you had talked about it a little bit. I mean, there was a lot of time and effort worked on this. Representative Hansen as well worked with the group to hear that testimony. My hope is, you know, we can get out of here and work on this to make sure that we're getting the right language in conference committee to move forward with that. You know, that's my commitment, and I think Chair Kosnick said the same thing. So I just want to let you know that.
Representative Tapke.
Thank you very much, Chair Cagle. And I do very much support the A-19 amendment because it's not pulling from the sales tax. It's keeping it wholesale, and it's saying that Hennepin County has to use their portion of the sales tax in order to fund this. So it's getting at what everyone wants here, and it's not forcing someone from a legislative level to spend money that is not currently allocated, that's not currently in the piece. And I think it's really terrible if we're, as Chair Cagle said, if we're using motivations of why people haven't done this. I think that's a really disrespectful argument to be making on this. And so I think this is a very good way that we can pull all the goals of everyone together in order to get this done. It's different than what Representative Hansen had brought forward. I had problems with that because, as you said, Chair Kosnick, that the funding is not available there in the levels that we would like to have that funding available. And this money is here, and it is money that will be able to be used. So I highly encourage everyone to help solve this problem today by getting this done here. And I believe this would match what the other body is working on as well. And so this would help all the folks that want to make sure that this is a priority for them, and all the people who are in the room here today, this is a priority for them to make sure that this gets it done in the right way. So I very much hope that we're able to pass this and push this bill forward without a substantive change, just where the funding comes from.
Chair Kosnick, any further discussion? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Representative Green.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Jones, for bringing this forward. I just wanted to confirm that this does match what's going on in the other body.
We don't talk about the other body, do we? I do know that this is the language that would match up with the Senate language, correct?
Okay. Thank you so much, Chair. Yeah, I just wanted to point that out, too, because I do know, you know, listening to the testifiers that came and talked about what goes on the bridge and putting our students first in this, I think that this moves that forward so that the safety of the bridge is the most important thing that we are talking about here. And so I just wanted to redirect our conversation that I don't see any, there's no misses on that. I think that is collaboration with what we've all talked about and what our testifiers have talked about. And so I like that this language matches the other body, because I think as we go into conference committee, it's going to be essential that we have as much as that as possible.
Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Yeah, thank you. I also encourage the conference committee to find ways to make this work. If we can do it cheaper and do it the same thing, that's a good thing from my perspective. So I am going to vote no on the amendment just to hold the deal intact. But, you know, this is just the first step. So thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I want to remind the committee that there was an amendment taken in committee, and it was passed through committee to the House floor, to General Register, at a 15-0 vote. So I know we're all committed to resolving this issue. We just will figure out, and I will commit to resolving how that gets done. I don't think it's disrespectful to talk about this bill. It's shameful that Hennepin County is arguing over $6 million, $9 million, or even $15 million on this project. They've gone on long enough, took an opportunity to use state bonding money, which we know doesn't always, a bonding bill does not always pass. But I think we're getting close, and we will do this, but if you feel that the conversation was disrespectful, I disagree. I think it's shameful. Again, we have an agreement on this general bill, and so I would ask members to vote no today on this amendment.
Any further discussion? Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the willingness to work further on this. Just one piece I wanted to mention, too. I think there are a number of folks in the room who've been mayors of cities, and so just, you know, the importance of local governments being able to control their own budgets. That's really what this is about, is keeping that whole. And so found another source of funding that the legislature kind of dictates and controls, and so that's really what we're trying to pull from.
All right. No further discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail.
we will continue to work on that and get the language right in conference. So we are in the future. So we are on the DE amendment as amended. And we will be referring this bill to taxes. Correct?
Madam Chair, I would move passage of the DE1 amendment to House File 2438 and refer it to the Committee on Taxes.
Thank you. Is there discussion to the bill as amended? What was that?
Murphy.
Okay, so we need to vote on the DE amendment. So.
DE1.
DE1 amendment. All those.
Mentor, what are we voting on to adopt the? Are we voting on to send it off to committee?
Or no, we're adopting the DE to the bill, and then we will discuss the bill as amended. So, all those in favor of the DE amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. All right, now we are discussing House File 2438 as amended. Discussion to the bill. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chair Kosnick. You know, as we go through this short legislative session, it feels like, and, you know, it's too bad we couldn't get started earlier. There were bills not heard. But I do have to give a lot of credit to you two for getting this done and your people you brought in to help you. You know, in legislation, all the bills are never the best bills we like. That's why we keep coming back and trying to get better and better. But I give a lot of encouragement for this, you know, for what you guys have done. And as you all know, Greater Minnesota, for myself, and like Representative Jones said about local control, I agree with that. And I like her encouragement on that. And I hope continuing forward, we can continue to do more local control. So, again, I want to give you guys credit, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Berg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we were discussing the amendments, I didn't raise my hand to ask a question because I thought it would be forthcoming and then it wasn't. But, you know, we voted down the greenhouse gas amendment, and I thought the other side of the aisle would explain why they weren't in favor of it, but nobody ever did. I'm wondering if I could ask the reasoning behind the opposition to this amendment. We've heard from MnDOT, we've heard from the agency that they're ready to go. There is so much testimony that we heard in favor of it and why it's so important, why it's critical as we move forward. We learned that we can look at our infrastructure projects differently to include this. There really aren't any barriers for something that is going to be incredibly important for generations to come for this planet. So I'm just super lost as to why there's opposition to it.
Is that a question for Chair
That
Kosnick?
Is a question for Chair Kosnick. As you recommended to your caucus to vote against it, I'm interested in your reasoning why.
Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, Chair Cagle. Representative Berg, we heard plenty of testimony during committee, very compelling of concerns that it is, in fact, not ready to go. And furthermore, today we heard some more testimony to make sure that we outline how the program will work and make sure that it stood up correctly, or maybe that's not the best word, stood up in a way that actually works for Minnesotans and stakeholders that manage and maintain our infrastructure.
Representative Berg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I heard that MnDOT is perfectly ready to roll it out and that other stakeholders come to the table with a more neutral position the more that the discussion went on, but I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we're kind of looking at this whole transportation bill as a package, I have to shout out to the individual who I cut my teeth in transportation with, former Representative Chair Frank Hornstein. And in the creation of this bill, given a lot of the constraints that we've looked at, I think that this does what he would have wanted at heart. I know that there are things that he would definitely not agree with in this bill, and I believe that there are a lot of things that he absolutely would agree with in this bill. He says a good transportation bill funds all modes and aspects of transportation. And given our budget constraints, we had to make some tough decisions, but I think that this bill still honors that idea, that concept that ensures that transportation is funded across the state for everyone. I'm really... Maybe I'm not excited about this bill. I would have been more excited if I had one more individual on my side of the aisle, but Representative Tabke had something to do with that. And so I think that the work that we did over the last 2 weeks on this, it was a big lift. It was a heavy lift. I thank the two chairs that we were able to come to an agreement. I thank all of our nonpartisan staff for this and our partisan staff who put in countless hours over the last 2 weeks to put something together that we obviously are not all in favor of. We don't love this, but it's something I think we can get enacted and we can move forward, because a state without roads, bridges, transit is not a state that anyone wants to live in, and so we need to ensure that it is funded. So thank you for this. I appreciate it, and I would recommend a yes vote, and I will be supporting this.
Thank you. Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, I want to thank you both for your work on this. I know especially in this tight environment, it's very difficult and can be a thankless job. I wasn't going to speak on this at this point. I think people can sense how I'm feeling. I cannot support this bill. The reason I am is my friend Representative Olson mentioned Frank Hornstein, and he is how I learned transportation as well. I'm not going to surmise how he would recommend us vote on a bill or not, but I can say that Chair Hornstein was the one that started me looking at the greenhouse gas VMT thing, because he really understood how key it was to not only the climate side of things, but how we think about our transportation infrastructure. So I needed to say that.
Thank you. Representative Myers?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is my first term on transportation. It's actually my first term on a committee that's got a really big budget. In this environment, I know there was some compromise that had to go on, fiscal compromise from everybody here. And we all played a part in this. You can see a little bit of kind of everybody in this bill. But the biggest thing to me was what the chairs did. I know the hours that you guys put in. I know the conversations you guys had. I know the work that you had to do to produce a policy bill, a budget bill that would impact the entire state. It's not just a metro or a suburb or greater Minnesota, but it's everybody. I want to thank Chair Cagle for she talked a lot about transparency. We heard a lot of testifiers talking about transparency and got some really good provisions in there, and I want to thank her for that. And thank Chair Kosnick for the ability to help me learn through this process as well. Without the both of you, we wouldn't be able to get where we are today. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. I also wasn't going to testify on or to speak at the end of this bill, but I feel compelled to. Because of the discussion on the last amendment, I mean, really talking about good governance, it's something that I really believe in. It's why I ran. I'm a systems person, and I really think that at the state level, it's so critical that we are thinking about the full system and the full structure and the way that we are knitting that all together, and that is being created based on our values. I think someone said earlier that a budget is a moral document, and so much of that is how we create our policies to set up the systems that we ultimately fund.
And one of my struggles beyond the greenhouse gas piece that is in this bill and is why I'm not going to be able to support it, is also the kind of the earmarked projects. I don't like it when earmarked projects are happening at the federal level. I don't like to see it here in our budget either. I think we should be establishing, you know, systems, setting up the criteria based on our values and how we prioritize those values within the system, so that then it's not individual legislators being cheerleaders for our own area. I think we should be making statewide, you know, budgetary decisions based on, you know, systems that are based on our values, not on who can speak the loudest for individual projects. So I felt compelled to say that. I do appreciate the chairs for your work on this. I know it has not been easy, and our staff as well. But I hope that as we go forward, we really think about how our values guide those systems, like the greenhouse gas policy, that really set us up for long-term success so that we can provide good governance for our state.
Thank you, Representative Jones. Representative Ream.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Kosnick, for all the work you've done. I know you had a very long week,
Two weeks.
I'm very thankful.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
5 months.
Off my life.
So I'm very thankful to the members for the robust discussions we've had over the bills. I wish we would have had more time to have presented more bills. A lot of things contributed to that, but I'm glad that we are here where we are right now. I'm very thankful to all the people who came to testify. I will say that I wish we had more people who would testify for poor people, because I think that really is lacking in this body. Also, disabled people really need a voice here. So I was really disappointed to see the cuts being made to Metro Mobility and to transit. I think Minnesotans expect their representatives to make our roads safer, make it easier to get around with a car, get around without a car. I was disappointed to see significant policy changes in a budget bill. I thought we were going to make a clean budget bill, so it was really surprising to hear earlier this week that there was a concession made. I'm super disappointed in that. I think we need to address affordability. We talked about that in this committee, and I don't know if this has really hit the mark for me. I think we could do a lot more work on this bill to make it so that people can afford to get around without a car and with a car. My hope is that we can refine this bill so that it truly reflects the needs of Minnesotans and a changing and warming climate. I am disappointed that we didn't have more money for the Advisory Council on Traffic Safety, for high-risk rural highways, where we see the majority of our traffic fatalities, which, by the way, are going up, not down. Safe, sober driving programs, I'd like to see that in this bill. Work zone safety, I know someone commented on that. I'd like to see that here. Law enforcement traffic safety training, that is not in this bill. I'm disappointed in that. But I am hopeful, and I would hope that as this process moves along, we can prioritize affordability, accessibility, safety, and the need to protect our environment and be courageous in the face of a changing climate. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jones. Is there any? I would like just to make a few comments as well. I don't like this bill very much. I mean, I'm very disappointed in the cuts to transit, especially Metro Mobility. Upset about the greenhouse gas emissions piece. You know, I think there was a lot of compromise that we made, and it was a very difficult process. Tempers flared quite a bit, and it was a, let's just say, difficult process to go through. And so my hope is that when we go forward with this bill, we take it into taxes and ways and means, negotiate in good faith, be professional, and try and leave emotion and feelings out of this, although, yes, it is emotional topics. But I think, you know,
we need to make sure that we're treating everybody fairly. So that's just one of my comments. I think, you know, in this divided government, I guess if everybody's mad at you, the bill might be something that we can get through. But I am 100% committed to making this a better bill when it comes back to us. And so, you know, this isn't the end. This is the starting point. And so I'm hoping that we can all work together in a collaborative and courteous way. And so with that, I would recommend that we move this bill out of this committee to taxes and continue the work to make it the best bill for all modes, all people, and that we're making sure that we're caring for each other. And I hope that both Chair Kosnick and I can take that sentiment into the next steps in this bill. So with that, I will, Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members, stakeholders that are here with us. Yeah, we've been working on this for a while. Representative Olson just said something about you don't have to love it at all or whatever. Made me think about pizza. I think everybody still loves pizza, but you don't have to love all the ingredients. And, you know, maybe that's probably a bad analogy for a transportation bill, but I think maybe that's what we're with. And I think as the reality of what's in the bill and people get a little bit more comfortable with it, I think Minnesotans will recognize that this is a balanced transportation bill that maybe we haven't had in a few years. It's a balanced transportation bill that makes Minnesota roads safer, that we're building our roads and maintaining our systems smarter. And I do believe that this is a bill that makes our transportation system even more sustainable. There was a lot of talk about transit, and I know the transit advocates show up. One of the things that we looked at is that there's over $500 million in reserves just for transit already. So the reallocations of Metro Transit, the reallocations of Greater Minnesota Transit, are not as significant compared to the reserves that we have in those accounts, in addition to the almost $700 million in new local sales taxes that are going to fund our transit. And so when you look on a spreadsheet, you have to find all the numbers and then decide if it's adequate. We did not attempt to fully remove the greenhouse gas provisions in the transportation statutes, and in fact, there is already $40 million in the mitigation account. And Representative Kraft, you're getting compliments and credit for the electric vehicle surcharges. Representative Zalesnikar, if you don't like them, you can blame her. But you both had bills; yours wasn't heard. But we still took provisions of yours that add some of those surcharges into the greenhouse gas mitigation account. And I recognize that you don't like other parts of the pizza, but that's part that you should celebrate. And I appreciate your efforts on that, even though we didn't hear it. I know that you were working and you were heard behind the scenes. This is an agreed-upon balanced transportation bill that does reflect the priorities and values of Minnesotans across the state. We have balanced government, and this bill reflects a balanced approach to transportation. In the overall bill are almost evenly divided with bills that were heard in committee or addressed in the negotiations. Just on a quick count, about 16 GOP bills, 14 DFL bills, but then we also had other provisions that weren't introduced as bills. What this bill does is investing and repurposing transportation funds to the modes that Minnesotans use most and are most efficient, so that people can get around to where they need to operate their daily lives, but also importantly, to drive our economy and create commerce that pays for not just the roads and bridges, but also commerce that helps pays for our education, our health care, our public safety, and the many other services that government provides. we have been spent into a looming deficit that's coming up. And this bill, with Chair Cagle and I, recognize that. We also recognize that with the looming deficit, it put a cap on what we can do for bonding capacity. And if we were to fund the necessary transportation items that we normally do in a bonding bill, transportation, trunk highway bonding would gobble up our ability for a bonding committee to also address other needs of clean water, other local infrastructure. And we'll see, and we hope that that committee can do good work, and this bill frees up some of that. Chair Cagle and I had an understanding that bills, that we both generally oppose earmark type projects in transportation. We do agree that it's not the best policy. However, recognizing the cap on bonding, we felt with the reductions and repurposing the dollars that we could accommodate and take a burden off of the bonding committee. And I think we did that pretty well. But the bills, the projects that are included in there, we match that with MnDOT's list of projects that are ready to go or nearly ready to go. Because part of the problem that we have in bonding in the past, and I'm willing to take the arrows and the criticisms of the projects that might be listed, but they're projects that are ready to go. And in the past, we have funded projects that are still not even shovel going, and that's capping out our bonding capacity. And that's a problem of past legislatures, past political decisions that were made. And so for the projects that are listed, at least the ones that we did on our side, but I believe the ones that are in the bill are pretty ready to go and will not be sitting on cash or bonding capacity. And so I think it's important. People can, like I said, I'll take criticism, but I've made a studied decision. And with Representative Chair Cagle, that's how we kind of agreed to put the projects in there. I do want to address, I know that there's some a motion on the bridge issue and whether it's good governance or not. The reality is good governance, Hennepin County or the bridge owners would have already fixed permanently on their own without the state being told to pay for it. There's nothing prohibiting them from doing it now, and it's embarrassing that they haven't done it already. We'll continue to have that discussion as we had previously. And so, yesterday I went through a lengthy appreciation for our staff. I do appreciate them again, and it's important to say it again now, both on the partisan and nonpartisan. You guys are fantastic. Your expertise, patience, knowledge, mostly patience, in this process, this is unheard of to have a co-chair situation where we're negotiating a bill this early in session, and a bill that we need to pass off the House floor. But again, this is a bill that has a lot for everybody, and probably some things that a lot of people don't love. But transit's not going to fall apart. The sky's not going to fall down. But we are going to move Minnesota forward in our transportation systems. This is a balanced transportation bill that's safer, smarter, more sustainable, and one that I'm proud to vote for. I appreciate your support. I appreciate the support of the committee. I appreciate the support of Chair Cagle. And we will represent the House position in negotiations because I believe this is a better approach than the other body. So, Chair Cagle, I appreciate you. Thank you for the process. I'm sorry your birthday falls in the springtime and you had to give up a day, your birthday mostly, to negotiate. But Madam Chair, I ask for support and renew my motion for House File 2438 as amended, if I believe, to the Tax Committee. I believe that's the correct motion. So thank you very much, everybody. This is the beginning of the end. Thank you.
I'd like a roll call.
Roll call being requested.
Sorry, I'll take that back.
Okay. Roll call off the table. Thank you. I just also wanted to take a chance to recognize our pages for the year, Harry and Michael, making sure that we have all of our supplies and everything we need for each committee. So thank you guys, and also just want to thank staff again. Matt and Andy are amazing. They are our brains, and this place would fall apart without them. And all of our partisan staff as well. And so really, you guys are amazing, and you guys are the institution, and we thank you so, so, so much. So with that, Chair Kosnick renews his motion that House File 2438 be moved to, as amended, be referred to taxes. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Thank you, and we are adjourned. Yeah.